Hey, how's it going? Welcome back to another episode of the Usagi Pojimbo Podcast. I'm your host, Mike, and we dive deep down into the rabbit hole that is Usagi Yojimbo. And we are getting into the Dark Horse run as of this episode. We're going to be looking at Noodles Part 1. If you like the podcast, support the podcast, check out our Facebook page. Pretty much just post random announcements from Stan Sakai and Dark Horse on there, as well as all the episodes. Usagi Pojimbo is available on all podcast platforms. Check us out. Rate and review us. It helps the podcast grow. But we got a good one for you guys today, I have to say. I feel like I say that all the time. And I think I said that last episode. We got a good one for you guys today. And I think we do. We got a good first start on this one. So in this first page, or the start of this episode, or start of this issue of Usagi Yojimbo, we see these men looking for somebody. We know it's a woman, and they're like, hey, she went this way, let's get her. And we see this one guy on a horse, and he looks like a police officer. I forget exactly what he is actually called, but his name is Yoriki, I believe, and he is a police magistrate, administrator is what they call it. I don't want to say magistrate, because it's not a magistrate, administrator. And we see, not far away from there, we see Usagi, and it's dark, by the way, it's nighttime. And Usagi's like, oh, this town looks quiet enough, you know? Now all I gotta do is actually find a spot, a cheap inn to basically spend the night in, and you know, we'll call it a night, you know. And we see these men continuing to look for this woman. They're like, oh, there she's going this way, let's go get her, she's two blocks ahead of us. And we see this woman running, and we see her cross paths with Usagi, and we hear, why, hello, Usagi. And we get a silhouette of this woman, and by the silhouette I noticed, and I was like, up, oh, I know it's you. You can't pull a fast one on me, Stan Sakai. I know who this is. But when we get into it and talk about this, we'll get into it. And this woman runs past Usagi. She's like, see you later, bye. And she runs off, and Usagi's like confused. He's like disoriented almost. Like, he's like, what's going on? He's like, I'm new to this town, and I don't even think I know anybody here yet, you know? But she certainly knew Usagi. And Usagi is like looking around, and they see the officers, like, hey, you. And they run up to Usagi, and he's like, oh, officers. And he's like, have you seen this woman? She's been running around here. And he's like, no, I can't say I've actually seen anybody. And they're like, we lost her. Dang it. You know, that's impossible. They're really mad that they actually lost this mysterious woman. So these police officers, I guess these are police officers. They said they're administrators in the first part of this. But they're like, he's obviously lying, you know. He knows something, you know. And he's like, our administrator, he knows, well, you know, if we don't find this woman, you know, he's going to have our heads. And they start to basically project, I guess you could say, they're wanting to know where this woman is, project their feelings, I guess you could say, and basically, very much looking for a witch hunt, I guess you could say, when it comes to Usagi, and they don't believe what he's saying at all. They're like, oh, come on, let's get him, and they try to get Usagi, but alas, Usagi beats him up. He beats him with the sheath of his sword, and I love seeing him like fight, you know, with like, you know, hand-to-hand combat, you know, without his sword. And a couple seconds later, we see the man riding on the horse from earlier, and they're like, hey, what's going on here, you know? And Usagi tells this man that your men attacked me for no good reason. If they were not police, I would not have been so gentle. And they're like, oh, man, he's hiding something, you know. We gotta do something, Masuda. And Usagi tries to explain to them, like, no, I've actually just arrived in town. I don't actually know what they're looking for. If you want to check, you know, you can check the gate warden, and he'll tell you that, you know, I checked in properly and stuff like that. And Usagi and Masuda give each other, like, a really intense, like, stare-off. And Masuda basically sucker punches this guy while he's on his horse, and he's like, you're using him to cover up for your incompetence. And Masuda basically tells Usagi, you know, you're not completely clear. Who are you, Ronin? What are you doing here? And with the men who are with Masuda, they're like, yeah, you know, well, answer it, you know, answer him, you know. And we get the spiel, where he's like, I am Miyamoto Usagi. I am just passing through this town. And Masuda interrupts him and looks at him very meanly. He definitely has a grudge, I feel like, against Usagi and maybe, like, Ronin in general, or samurai, I guess you could say. And he basically tells Usagi to see to it that you pass through town quickly, Ronin. You masterless samurai are nothing but trouble. And then he tells his man to go search the area, and I want this woman found, he says. And Masuda says, you know, if she gets away, there will be severe ramifications. So he is definitely on the hunt for this woman, I tell you that much. And Masuda actually bumps into, while riding away, to this man. He's carrying basically like a food contraption. I don't know what you would exactly call it. And, you know, he's like, oh, you filthy street vendors. Would be locked up away if it wasn't for me, you know, because he hates the street vendors. And this guy, this big man, he's holding this like food contraption, like, I guess to carry the food. He's holding it on his like shoulders. He's like, he makes like a noise, and Usagi says, oh no, you know, I don't want any noodles. No, thank you. No noodles. Thank you. And as the man leaves, he kind of glances back, you know, over his shoulder. And we hear this voice come out of the other end of the compartment. And he's like, are you sure, Usagi? My treat. And Usagi, like, glances back. And the guy makes this noise. He's like, ha ha. Yeah. He's like, ha ha. I'm in on this little trick. And he's like, hey, wait. And Usagi, like, kind of lunges towards this man. This noodle vendor, he runs off, and he starts to have kind of like, seems to have like a really good smile on his face, like he's having fun running away from Usagi. Usagi's like, hey, stop it, wait. And he like runs around, and I love this panel where you see Usagi running around, and where the outline is of the building where he's running around this building, we see in the panel right inside of it, Usagi, it like looks around and where the corner is, and like nobody's there. But I love that little touch that Stan Sakai adds, like artistically, like it looks really, really cool. And we hear her, and this guy pulls out like this ladle of noodles, and he like kind of starts making a bowl of noodles. And he's like, oh, no more games, Usagi says, you know, who are you and what do you want with me? And we see somebody come out of the food holder thingy, and we hear, hello, Usagi, and come to find out, it's none other than the thief herself, it's Kitsune. Who would have thought Kitsune would actually come back, you know? I mean, we haven't really seen Kitsune in quite some time. I think the last time we saw Kitsune, was it in her first appearance? I think it was. I can't remember off the top of my head, to be honest, because these stories start to kind of run together a little bit. But she gets out of the food thing, and she's like, oh man, you know, it gets awful cramped in there. And Usagi starts to laugh at her, and he's like, ah, still up to your old tricks, hey, Kitsune. Which, yes, she is still up to her same old tricks, just like always. And Kitsune tells him the thing that she always tells him, you know, well, a girl has to do what a girl has to do, you know. And Usagi says, oh, I see you have a partner now. And she's like, yeah, that's Noodles. Noodles and I have a good routine going on. You know, the police would never suspect that I'm hiding in the storage compartments of the portable soba stand, which the soba is actually buckwheat noodles, apparently, according to the little thing in the word balloon, which is really interesting. I didn't know that. And Usagi ends up thanking Noodles for his help, for helping Usagi's, quote, friend. I'm going to use a friend loosely, because I don't really know if they're, like, quote, friends, because she's always stealing from Usagi, you know? And Kitsune says, you know, he's a gym, isn't he, Usagi? And Usagi says, he doesn't talk much, does he? And apparently, no, he was actually born mute. But he understands everything, and, you know, he is just fine the way he is. That's what Kitsune says. Usagi asks Kitsune when they're right around when they're starting to eat the soba noodles. He asks Kitsune, are you still performing on the streets? And she's like, of course I am. You know, entertainment has always been my first love. Thieving is just something I do to get by, basically. And I love this little scene. It made me laugh a lot, actually, where they're talking and Kitsune says, you know, besides, we can use the extra money. Noodles and soba isn't very good. And Usagi's like eating it. He has this like weird, like shocked look on his face. And he ends up like, no, I don't need any more noodles. I thought for a minute there, Usagi was actually going to like hurl or vomit up the noodles, which I thought was going to be really funny. And he says, you know what? I'm not very hungry anyways, you know, at the moment. And Kitsune kind of gives him the smirk. He's like, I'm never hungry either, you know. But later on, you know, Kitsune and Noodles say goodbye to Usagi, tell him goodnight, you know, hope to see him again soon. And we get this little scene where even the Tokages don't want noodles as soba noodles, which is really funny to see. We get to see more of Kitsune's performances where, you know, the hero is leaped over the mountain, you know, and scaled the heights of the heavens. We get to see a really good detail of her doing her up close and personal, like her fan top tricks, which is always cool to see. And I love how it conveys the emotion and how she's flipping it around. And it's bouncing on top of her fan, which is always really cool to see. We see that a big crowd has gathered to check out Kitsune's performance that she does. And, you know, she's sort of grifting for money. She's there performing for money on the streets. And I love in the background, we see Usagi walking by. And he's like, with luck, I'll find some employment in the next town, you know. Which is pretty fun to see, you know. I come to see, like, Kitsune or whatever, you know. He says, or he actually notices that Kitsune is there. I think he's probably leaving the town, and he happens to come upon a Kitsune, I guess you could say. And we see her, Kitsune actually gives this little girl a top, and she's like, here you go, you know, thanks, you know. Apparently, street performing has been not providing very well financially. But Kitsune tells Usagi that she is glad to see him. And vice versa, you know, she says, you know, give me a minute to pack, you know, I'll treat you to lunch. She's like, I know of a quiet inn nearby. Apparently, she actually stole last night like a coin purse, and she's going to treat Usagi to some food. We actually find out that Kitsune actually has morals to her thievery. We find out that she only actually steals from those who can afford it. She doesn't actually steal from, like, peasants. She steals from lords and merchants who make their money on the backs of the poor. And they're the criminals, she says, even though technically she is also a criminal in a sense because she steals. You could say she's kind of like Robin Hood almost, except she steals and gives to herself, not steals and gives to the poor. Well, I guess she could be considered the poor as well, maybe. We get this nice little intimate moment between Usagi and Kitsune where, you know, Usagi, when she's talking about you know, about what she does and like the morals behind it and stuff. Usagi's like, you don't have to justify yourself to me. She's like kind of places her hand on Usagi's cheek and she's like, I know, that's why you're my friend, Usagi, because you take me the way I am. Haha. She kind of laughs. She's like, maybe someday I'll actually tell you the story about how I actually started in the game. We find out that there's no real competition in this town because those idiot cops, all the idiot cops, all he does, or the main cop, Masuda, apparently all he does is gamble away all the bribes he gets. So he's in like very much like a gambling addict. We transition from Usagi and Kitsune to the magistrate's office or house. I don't know. I think it's his office, I want to say. And he starts talking to Masuda. He's like, I want this crime to stop. If you can't do it, I'll replace you with someone who can. And he's like, understand? He's like, yes, magistrate, I understand. I've been receiving complaints for those people in the town that Masuda has actually been gambling and stuff and hasn't really been, doing his job. And Masuda's actually been sweating a lot in this interaction. And he's like, you have my word, sir. I pledge my honor to get that thief and catch that thief. And, he's like dabbing the sweat off his brow. And the magistrate tells him to stop groveling, stop moping around. I need you to get this done. You're dismissed. And Masuda goes off and gets on his horse and goes away. And he's kind of like grumbling and he's really mad. He's like, that pompous fool. He treats me like a lackey just because he's superior to me. Someday I'll get even with him. No one's fooling me. No one's fooling me good, Out of my way. He kind of runs people over. And we see, I think that's Kitsune on the like a balcony, but I'm not 100% sure. One thing we actually get, which I actually didn't notice the first time I read this. In the background behind Masuda, we see Jay and the little girl who accompanied him back in The Nature of the Viper, which I did not pick up on that the last time I saw it. Very sneaky, interesting detail, Stan Sakai. Very sneaky. Masuda bursts into this room and we see him with, which I'm guessing these are the guys that who work for Masuda. And he's like, the magistrate is pressuring me to put an end to this rash of robberies. You've got to lie low for a while. And he's like, who? What? They're like, what are you talking about? We gotta lie low. You're the one who gives us the orders. So I guess I got that wrong. I don't think it's the guys who were helping Masuda. I think these guys are actually doing the robberies for Masuda. So he can get like money and stuff, it seems like, for his gambling addiction, I feel like. That's what I took away from this. We find out that Masuda actually has a bunch of gambling debts. And this one big guy gets up in his face and he's like, until you pay off your gambling debts, you'll do as we say. Continue to give us the tips on who to rob and make sure that the cops are elsewhere. Understand? Okay, so I guess I remember that wrong. These guys aren't working for Masuda. Masuda is technically working for these guys and giving them information. Almost like I don't want to say like a snitch exactly, but he's like an informant. But he's a police officer. He's informing the bad guys. He's like a reverse informant. And Masuda tells him that there's a soba seller last night while we were out and about. Nobody's gonna look for him. He is the perfect scapegoat to pin all this on. And apparently Noodles is very popular because even these brigands, these bad guys, know about Noodles. They're like, oh yeah, we know about Noodles. He's that mute that he has no friends or family. And we transition from that to Usagi and Kitsune. And Usagi asks, how did you meet your partner? And she's like, Kitsune says, oh, I found him in a ditch, unclothed and almost starving. He couldn't even tell me his name, so I just started calling him Noodles, and it kind of fit, you know? And she's like, you know, he's not too bright, but he's awfully strong, you know, and he is a... So his home village drove him out because they were afraid he might harm someone. And, you know, but he's actually a quite gentle person. It's just that he's been ridiculed and feared all his life as an outcast. And as he's talking to Usagi about this, we see the men run up and they actually surround Noodles, and Noodles is trying to fight them back. And, you know, he's like, and Kitsune's like, oh, you know, no, Noodles will never hurt a fly. And as he's trying to fight all these men back, they're like, oh, bring in the ladders. And we see these guys holding these ladders, and they make, like, this square around Noodles. And they slowly, like move in and box Noodles in. And we see him in writhing in pain from being, like, boxed in and whatnot. And as Usagi and Kitsune are talking, and she's talking about, you know, how one day she might save up some money and get Noodles and Kitsune out of there, you know, think that we might have like a quiet life. And we find out that as they're eating, somebody pops in and they're like, hey, the cops just caught Noodles, the soba seller. Turns out he's a thief. Boy, they're going to execute him for sure. And Usagi and Kitsune are very shocked. And that's how part one of Noodles ends. I have to say, man, this was a perfect setup for a two-parter, I feel like. It's fun to see Kitsune come back and enter into the world of Usagi. You know, yeah, she slips in and out, you know. It's cool to learn a little bit more about her, I feel like. And the fact that she's got a partner now. I find it interesting how, one, she kind of handles, like, I don't want to call him, he's not like an invalid, Noodles is, but he's very much like a gentle giant. And he is very much like the Chewbacca, I feel like, to Kitsune's Han Solo, I feel like, a little bit. But I like the way Stan Sakai, you know, handles people who are mentally, I don't want to say handicapped, because I don't really know if Noodles is all mentally handicapped, but like, it's very interesting to see how Stan Sakai handles it with such grace and doesn't really treat him like lesser than, you know, most humans would, you know, most people, if they're kind of slow or whatever, or mute, society treats them as like lesser than, but like, Kitsune, she treats, Noodles as basically her equal almost, you know, and I really liked the way that is portrayed in this part one of the story. But I do have to say, I do feel like something bad is going to happen, and I'm afraid to read the next issue, to be honest. Because I don't want anything bad to happen to Noodles. I feel like he's such a fun new addition to the Usagi world. I feel like something really, really bad is going to happen to him. But yeah, this is a fun start to the third volume of Usagi. And man, people did say like Usagi is good, but like apparently when you get to the saga part, like Usagi gets really good. And I feel like it was hitting on all cylinders in this particular issue. And I love the fact that they threw in the little like hint that Jay is still out there. Because that's something that I did not notice the first time I read through this. I was a little confused with the men helping Masuda. I still don't know if they're like police officers or they're like the bad guys. Or maybe they're just hired guns, I feel like. They're probably hired guns, maybe. But I love seeing how Usagi interacts with everybody. Usagi makes friends so quickly. it's nice to see that, like, even like Usagi doesn't discriminate. You know, Usagi like likes everybody. Well, except if you're like a bad guy, he doesn't really like you. But if you're like a good-hearted person, you know, Usagi will treat you right. And I feel like that's a very good message. You know, treat everybody the way you want to be treated, I feel like. But yeah, it's a fun start, and I can't wait to read part two. So we'll catch you guys on the next episode. Hope you guys enjoyed this particular issue. Sorry if I sound a little weird. I still have allergies, or I'm still fighting off my cold. I'm not really for sure what it is. But thanks for listening. Hope you guys enjoyed this issue, or this episode of the podcast. Remember, Usagi Pajimbo is available on all podcast platforms. Check us out. Leave us a review. Check out the Facebook page. We'll catch you guys on the next episode. Peace out, stay safe, and go read some Usagi Yojimbo.